This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You stop in the example of speaking about the individual doesn't practice what they preach, or a person who's classified as a qudwa, an example to society, and begins to cling towards this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded the parable by mentioning, narrate to them the stories that they may begin to ponder and begin to reflect. As if this is an ishara, the intent of these parables inside the Quran is for us to reflect and to extract these lessons, and not to make the mistakes that people may make before, or people may make today, or people may make in the future. كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ يَضْرِبُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Allah mentions that Surah Ar-Ra'd, which is side point, has so many different mathals or amthal mentioned inside there. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws these parables, gives us these parables to better ourselves. And today's example that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions towards us once again, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. That this parable of today that we're going to throw, we're going to mention, is for you to be mindful, to be heedful, to pay attention towards it. And before we enter into this example, we do slightly backtrack back to what we mentioned before. Because some of us may be thinking that we mentioned about the person, the bad scholar, the evil scholar, that is a common practice. That is not the common practice. The default of people of Ahlul Ilm is they are sound individuals, and they are individuals who are to be highly respected and sanctified, the dignities to given to them. So a person shouldn't take the brief example out of context to try to throw it upon every single individual who possesses some form of knowledge. That is a rarity, an exception to the normal practice, because the real individuals who understand these amthal, these parables, are people of knowledge, people of understanding. Even the whole concept of this method of speaking about kalimatul tayyiba, la ilaha illallah. Who are the most deep-rooted individuals who understand what does this statement mean? Or who expand upon this? Who teach it to the people, is going to be those individuals. And those individuals haven't selected it themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة أولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except for him. And likewise the angels. And then Allah then mentions the third category, the second category of people, وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, people of knowledge, of understanding. They're the ones who've been given the tools to be able to decipher to a certain degree what do the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do they mean? And to live true to that. And inside Surah Al-Imran, you find numerous ayat inside it speaking about people of ulul ilm, or people ulul albab. Right in the beginning, it speaks about those ayat with a mutashabihat, those ayat which are not clear. Allah then mentioned that those individuals understand these ayat after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed it upon those individuals, is these people, الراسخون في العلم, people are deep inside their knowledge and interpretation. They understand what these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they mean. And likewise, towards even the end of the surah, Allah mentions, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the old creation, the heavens and the earth, the night and the day, is signs for ulul albab, for people of intellect. The deeper meaning of al-lub is al-aql, the intellect, meaning a person of knowledge. That a person who possesses the real knowledge sees the alternation night and the day, the sun and the moon, the stars, sees all of this. And what do they conclude? They conclude, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You haven't created this in vanity. There's a purpose. If every living thing serves a purpose on the face of this earth, why doesn't the human being serve that purpose? And that's why the messengers that came, tatra, one after another, continuously to remind the people, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We sent amongst every nation of people a messenger, always to remind the people to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the key role of the messengers. That's the key role of the prophets. That's the key role of the people who follow the way of the prophets, is to remind people about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is not to gain anything. It's to always remind people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are secondary, tertiary things. They may begin to happen inside society. But that's why the scholar remains neutral inside their life. That their goal is to be always, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for always the reminder benefits the believing individuals. To remind the people, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created a jinn and a human being to worship me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ibn Abbas said, liyuwahidun, to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for worship. That's what we're here for. And that's why these individuals have been placed there. They inherit from the prophets. That's in Surah Tirmidhi that we find. The prophets don't leave behind dinar wala dirham. They leave behind the treasure of knowledge. Whoever takes from that treasure of knowledge, faqad akhadha min hadhin wafir, has taken from immense treasures. That's why in other narration mentions that even the ants, the fish in the ocean, everything prays for the person who's sahibul ilm, the person of knowledge. In other narration mentions that person, fadlul alim, al-abid, the virtue of the scholar over the worshipper is like the virtue of the moon over all of the stars. Look how there can be millions of stars, but the moon outshines everything. That's the virtue. Another hadith it mentions, kafadli ala adnakum, is that the virtue of the Prophet over the most lowest of the companions. That is sahibul ilm. That's what Allah mentioned, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. People who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those individuals who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah mentions in the Quran, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulul amri minkum. Oh, you believe, obey Allah. Then obey the messenger. Then people who've been given authority, people of knowledge, obey them inside the extractions that they make. Even the ulama has mentioned, they didn't say wa ati'u, because it's not total obedience, showing that they are human beings. At times, they can err. Total obedience is to Allah, wa ati'u Allah. There's going to be no falter. لا تبديل لخلق الله. There's going to be, may Allah protect us, forgive us. There's going to be no change or no distortion of the words of Allah. That's not plausible. Allah can't make a mistake. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Allah doesn't make no mistakes. There's no mistakes in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created on this earth, what He's placed. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah know what He's created? He's the most subtle, the most aware. He knew what happened yesterday, what happens today, what happens inside the future. It's all maktub in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when people think that Islam changes according to the parameters that we live in the 21st world, in a different country, in a different environment, small things may change. Small things may change. But core elements of Islam, they remain there. They remain there. This is what the teachings of Islam are. This is what we need to uphold to. Not that we move with every society. Every society we move, that we move our teachings according to the needs of the society. Islam stands out. Society drifts towards Islam. Society is looking towards Islam. That's what society needs. And that's our role. The role of every individual to equip themselves with certain amount of knowledge of Islam to be able to disseminate that, teach that to the people around us. Allah mentioned, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah says, are they equal? Those people who know and those who people who don't know. Are they equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They're not going to be equal. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to raise those individuals. وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنْكُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. And those who've been given knowledge amongst you, Allah is going to raise them in ranks. Allah gives that virtue to these individuals. So the default position is that we shouldn't lose trust. We shouldn't pick on certain things and inflate them and think that these people don't have knowledge, they don't have understanding. That was just an exception that we mentioned, because some people like to pick up on that and said, look, he's trying to say things about people respected inside our society. That's not what we're trying to say. But as teachers and practitioners, we need to highlight these are certain things inside our society we need to be worried about. That everything isn't black and white as some of us we begin to think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside this parable from Surah Ibrahim, the 624th verse that we find, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws this parable? And this is one of the rare occasions inside the Quran that Allah offers this rhetorical question, أَلَمْ تَرَى. Don't you see? Which as a side point occurs some 12 times inside the Quran, that Allah is posing this question, don't you see? Just like even for many of us, a basic surah, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the people of the elephant? Meaning that historically it was documented with the Quraysh. Some of them were still alive when this verse was sent down, or they were alive at that time who saw what took place previously, or is narrated to them from generation to generation. So Allah gives this taswir, gives this depiction, this image for you to visualize. Allah is throwing this parable, visualize the parable of a good word. What is a visualization is good word? Some ulama say, no, it actually means that this is not just a visualize, not just something you can reflect upon, but something you can visually see inside your life. That what is the impact of a good word? What is the impact of a bad word inside society? Countries go to war because of words. Because of falling out with other people. With other people inside authority. Wars don't just take place just like this. There's a backdrop. Just like even in a normal house surrounding that we find. People break up amongst themselves. People argue amongst their siblings. People break up inside society. Business partners, they collapse. Because why? Because someone may have said a word. They found it offensive at that moment in time. So they cut off ties. So take that on a mini scale to a macro scale. That when countries meet with one another, they delegate one another. Someone may make a comment about their country, about their people, about their nation. They take offense to that. And read history. Wars have taken place. Not to say it's justified. Because this is ignorance. This is ignorance. That's why even amongst the Quraysh that we find that they were at war with one another. Until in Medina that we find the Aws and Khazraj, until the Prophet ﷺ, he came and he unified them. He unified and brought them together. And that's what we need to clearly understand, that Islam is about unification. It's not about breaking the society, especially in today's world at the moment, as people are picking on small things about the Palestinian cause, or these people like that, or these countries like that, or they're like that. What is the greater cause? The greater cause is what's taking place. 35,000-40,000 people have been killed. They've been displaced. They've been obliterated. And we're discussing other, not even tertiary or thirdly things. We're discussing things that are way down on the ladder, way down the spectrum that we're discussing. So it really shows our lack of understanding of Islam. That's what it shows. It shows that we don't really understand Islam. We don't really understand what is maqasid al-sharia. We don't understand what the intent of the Islamic law is. The five principles that Islamic sharia revolves around is preservation of life. Preservation of honor, dignity, wealth, property, religion, sanctity. That's what Islam revolves around. It doesn't revolve around my own personal interest. It looks at the greater concept. That here are people being persecuted. These people are being persecuted. What should we be rallying around? What should we be doing in the world at the moment? What should the Muslim Ummah be doing at the moment? What is it doing? It's nothing hidden. 7-8 months have gone by. People always making these excuses. Well, maybe they have a better understanding. Maybe they know best what to do. It's 8 months that have gone by. We're still waiting for something. We're still waiting for a response. We've got thousands of non-Muslims campaigning. We've got thousands of Muslims who are outside in universities. I don't want to go into the dissect about whether it's allowed or not allowed. That's not my discussion. The discussion is that why are these people at the forefront of a cause that concerns us? Why are they there? Why do they care about it? Why are they worried about it? That should place us to shame. What link do they have with the Palestinian cause and the Palestinian people? The link that they have is they're humans. They're humans. They feel the suffering. They visualize the hardship, the difficulties. That's what arouses them. That's what awakes them. And here we are dragging our feet that whether I should say something, or whether I should highlight the Palestinian cause, or whether I should speak about it. Yes, we all fear for our jobs. We all fear for our lives. That's human nature. We all do. But the more people that remain silent, then the more the atrocities will continue upon the world. It will continue in the world. The more that we remain silent, the more it will carry on. The more it gives them the importance that we can do what we want to do, because there's no one speaking out for this cause. There's no one highlighting the concern about these people. And even the Palestinian people you speak to, what do they say? They just want us to be vocal about their concern. That's what gives them strength. That's what gives them strength, that there are people who are aligning with them. People showing support for them. Showing that they're concerned and worried about these people. So this power of the good word has a great impact inside society. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, giving this parable of this good word that we find, kalimatan tayyibatan. What is this good word? Ibn Abbas mentions kalimatan tayyibatan huwa qawlu la ilaha illallah. The good word in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this ultimate statement that we began with. To say, La ilaha illallah. Other ulama said the good word is the Quran. That's what the good word is. And others said there's any good word. And all these, they're all together. Because even the Quran is just the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any good word the person says is extracted from the Quran, the Sunnah. So this is the good word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising here. This good word, كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. A good word is like a good tree. This is the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is throwing. that any good word, whether it be قول لا إله إلا الله, saying لا إله إلا الله is a good word. The tree is like a tree. Who is that tree? A long discussion amongst ulama tafsir, they discuss, what is the tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to? Amongst the views, is the tree, is a nakhla, is a date palm tree. That's when a long discussion begins to take place, the relevance between a believer and a date palm tree. Because a date palm tree gives fruits all seasons. It's strong, it's firm. It doesn't have set moments. It's always giving its fruits. And even the Prophet ﷺ asked this question to his companions. He asked them, which tree is like the believer that doesn't lose its leaves and is strong and is firm? So the companions began to give different views about different types of trees that they knew. We find Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, was sitting there. He said that I remained silent, but in my mind, the tree that I was thinking about was a nakhla, the date palm tree. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he said the tree I'm referring to is the date palm tree. Then he said to his father, he said that I knew what tree it was. I knew the Prophet ﷺ was referring to the nakhla, the date palm tree. He said, why didn't you say so? It's better for me than kada wa kada. It's better for me that you show your knowledge. Present it. Show that you understood this. This understanding of this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So this good word is like a date palm tree. It's the believer. The believer's words are good. They're powerful. They benefit everybody around us in this world and likewise inside al-akhirah. Then Allah mentions, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. This believer is who's like a tree, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ. Its roots are firm. It's judur. Its roots are firm. Meaning the belief of a believer is strong. A believer very rarely moves over, changes their deen. Very rarely, even a normal Muslim, very rarely. But very rarely in history do you find that a Muslim would change their faith, because iman is rasikh, it's something firm. Something strong inside it. It holds down the individual, what their belief and their conviction is. Just as we mentioned, وَرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. People are firm inside their belief. That's why even the word aqidah goes back to the word aqd. Aqd means to tie a knot. When you tie a knot, it's difficult to undo it. So your aqidah, your belief, your iman, your tawheed is strong. Your belief isn't wishy-washy, isn't myths, isn't fables, isn't stories, isn't ancient tales, isn't what so-and-so said. It's not based upon that. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said, al-ilmu qala Allah wa qala Rasul wa qala sahaba. That's what knowledge is, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. What the Prophet ﷺ told us in his hadith, what the companions they practiced and they deciphered for us. That's what ilm is. Ilm isn't that this is a story of so-and-so spiritual person or this person done this action. We're not questioning whether they done the action or not. These stories have what destroyed Islam. That people have based their life on a cultural understanding of Islam. That's why even many non-Muslims don't. Why don't they come towards Islam? There's so much culture that we place there. So many barriers. That we have all these cultural practices. Why did Islam spread at the time of the Khulafa al-Rashidun? Why did it spread all across the world? Because pristine, orthodox, pure teachings, that whatever land, whatever people they went into, that impact upon them. And that is a good word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they affirm. And like was in hadith Sunnah Ibn Majah, some ulama make a critique and others have made it hadith hasan. Don't make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you're burnt alive or even you're chopped to pieces. Never commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَتْرُكْ صَلَاةً مُتَعَمِّدَةً. Never ever leave a salah intentionally inside your life. Never leave it inside your life. وَلَا تَشْرَبَ الْخَمَرْ. And never ever drink alcohol inside your life. Severe warnings from the Prophet as I'm teaching us that the Muslim is a strong personality. When your aqidah is strong and firm, not the technical study, the study of fear of Allah. You're going to be vigilant about your salawat. You're going to be vigilant about your prayers. You're going to be vigilant about ma'asi. You're going to be vigilant to stay away from haram things. You're going to be vigilant to stay away from munkarat. That's what's going to happen to a person who sees that, because the technical study is for technical people. But Islam isn't for technical people. It's for normal people. Because if it's based that every person has to technically understand Islam before they abstain from haram, then no one's going to do that. It's only going to be a few people. But Islam speaks to the masses. It's the basic belief leads the individual to stay away from these haram things, to become focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, تُؤْتِ أُكُلَ كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. It gives fruits. Tawheed gives fruits. That when a person mixes with society and they speak with the people, they live with the people, they see that their belief is pristine. They see their conduct is pristine. They see their speech is clean, is a good speech, is a good person, doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't steal, doesn't curse, doesn't revile, doesn't use vulgar speech. That's the impact of Tawheed upon the individual. That's why it's always giving fruits. That's why you find the believer, just like you find another parable which is given inside the hadith about the friends that we keep. That when a person hangs about with Haminul Misk, a person who sells perfume, you don't need to necessarily purchase perfume from them. Just by standing with them, the fragrance goes on your body. And the opposite is mentioned, Nafikhul Kir, the one who blows in the iron, the ironsmith. Just by standing by a person who's working with iron, some of that smell, some of that smoke is going to go onto your body. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this is a parable of a good friend and a bad friend. This is a parable of a good friend and a bad friend. So many young people say, I don't commit haram, but I move with these people, I sit with these people, I friendship with these people. Their impact is going to have an impact upon you. We should be having an impact upon them if we do decide to mix with them. That's why how many good people they become, go over towards that side. Go towards Munkarat. Because why? Because of the friends around them. Al-mar'u ala dini khalili. A man is on the way of life of his friends. For let every one of you look at who his friends are. Who their friends are. If they're righteous people, they're good people, maybe you may not gain the immense knowledge from them, but just being with them, being in the masjid, being in a good community, there's going to be the barakat. There's going to be the blessings that are going to fall upon the person, that are going to help the person through this journey that we're living in. And likewise, you find ahabbul a'malu ilallahi adwamuha in qalla, the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those actions done on a regular basis. Things that you do on a regular basis, they affirm your belief. They make you become more committed. Every day, you decide to sit at a certain moment in time, read half a page of the Quran, a page of the Quran, a juz of the Quran, something of the Quran, read a hadith. But every single day you do that, is better than many of us who come to Ramadan and read the Quran and don't read the Quran again to the following Ramadan. So the most beloved action that will make your heart firm, make you committed every single day. Or at the end of the day, I'm going to make sure that at the end of the day, I've got work, I've got commitments. We understand the type of world that we live in. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make sure I get to the masjid for Salatul Isha. Especially now, Salah is late. For Maghrib and Isha, I'm going to get there. So I hear some elements of the Quran. I hear the reminder. Be through to the next day in the world that we live in. We know what the world that we're living in at the moment. The difficulties that people are facing day in and day out. It's two opposites. And opposites, they're two total opposites. The workplace that we find, the environment around us is different from the spiritual world that many of us that we want to live. So we need to revitalize our iman. And we should thank Allah we have that. We have that environment around us. That you can go to any masjid and find that spirituality. Come to Maghrib, come to Isha, come to Fajr. To build your iman. To build your iman, to listen to the Quran will make your iman become firmer and stronger towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, a long discussion begins to take place, the importance of a tree. Some of them discuss, just like today in the world of science, they find trees have a great role to play in the oxygen, etc., that they bring out and they release. It benefits. That's what the believer is, always benefiting people. Just like you have to take care of the tree, you have to prune it, take away the weeds, take care of it. Likewise, the believer, we need to take care of our iman. We need to take care of our iman, not just leave it. That's it. I know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That's it. And leave it to another opportunity. Always be worried about our iman and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you find the fruits of tawheed. Because at the moment, some people are pushing inside society. Tawheed is a personal relationship. It is a way of life, that the impact of tawheed should be inside our countries, inside our life. You can't say that we believe in tawheed and there's idols being placed inside Muslim environments. How can you say you're speaking about tawheed and you're liberating tawheed? And at the same time, you've got this that's taking place. So actually, we're going back. We're not going forward because we're becoming passive individuals that as long as we read the passages about Tawheed, we don't enact them inside our society. That's what's taking place in the world at the moment. That's why we are going downhill. That's why the Muslim world is going in a downhill because we're going towards more towards Shirkiyat, towards khurafat, towards bid'at. We're going towards innovations. We're going towards false practices. And maybe that could be because the prophets, I mean, prophesied that towards the end of time, there will come the people who are going to actually, amongst Muslims, who are going to become idol worshippers, who are going to return back to that. That will happen in some certain segments amongst the Muslims. They may begin to take place. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah throws this parable for what purpose? لَعَلَّمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. That we may reflect, we may be heedful, mindful about this. As Allah mentioned so many times inside the Quran about parables that He throws. That these are لَعَلَّمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. To say that this is the reason these parables, that a sensible, al-aqil, the intellectual individual is the one that sees the mistakes of other people, sees the world, sees things around them, and begins, that's the intellectual individual, and says inside their mind and heart, I don't want to make those same mistakes. Just like many of us, we look back at the life of our parents, they've done so many good things, but there may have been some mistakes inside their life. And we think inside our mind, you know what? I don't want to make the same mistakes as my father. That's not to blame one's father or to look down upon them. That's a normal human reaction. That he may or she may have not achieved certain things. I want to achieve them for the betterment of our family, for the betterment of our society. That's what we do on a normal scale. So when it comes to Islam, why don't we take that same concept as well? That maybe my parents don't understand Islam so much, not to look down upon them. Maybe I need to learn more about Islam to better our society, better our home, better our family, better ourselves. We better ourselves with everything regarding the dunya. We all excel inside that. We're actually proud about that. When a person praises another person, that this person possesses X amount of PhDs or an MA or qualified to do this, qualified to do that. Rightfully, there's no harm in that. There's no harm in that. But we're bragging and boasting sometimes about the wrong things. We're bragging and boasting about the wrong things. That the worry should be that where's our Islamic practice in relation to that? وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ. Then Allah gives the opposite. A bad word is like a bad tree. But bad word here, if we said the word, good word is la ilaha illallah, the bad word is the word of shirk. This is the impact of shirk. It's tooth that, it's taken out from the earth, min fawqa al-ardi ma laha min qarar. A bad word is like a bad tree. A bad tree. Some of the scholars tafsir begin to discuss what type of tree is it. Is it a colocynth? Is it a handal? Is it a shiryan? Is it a thum? What type of tree is it? All these trees, they have a vulgar, foul smell, and they grow upon the surface of the earth. مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. It has no establishment. It's weak. It has no benefit at all. Just ripped up and thrown away. That's a bad word. It doesn't last. It lasts inside Jahannam. It will last inside Jahannam. That's why in the hadith mentioned, a person says a word and doesn't pay any attention to it. Doesn't pay any attention. Just say a word to another person, and they're descending inside Jahannam for many seasons. And even the context of hadith, it mentions that the companion is sitting there and there's a sudden thud on the ground. There's a sudden sound. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that this was a stone that was traveling for many, fi ba'd ruyat sab'een kharif, 70 seasons. And now it's plummeted down to the bottom of the hell. One word. One word. That we don't pay attention. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not a word do we utter except for this Raqib and Atid, where we take the view that these are the two names of the angels, or it just describes there. Whatever view we take. The meaning of the verse is clear though. Whatever word you say, you utter, has been written down. That's it. Sealed by the angels. Unless you make tawbah, you repent, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for the words that you say, or you go to that person, you ask them, forgive me for saying those words, then it may be wiped out, scratched out. But many of us have said so many different words that we pay no attention to it. And it will come back and, as they say, haunt us. Haunt us on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And as we find the impact of shirk that we find is everlasting punishment that we find. And the impact of tawheed. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes the good word. And the righteous actions, they push it up. That's why Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib, Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, wrote a whole resale, a small work, speaking about what is a good word. Then his student, Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah, wrote Al-Wabil Al-Sayyib, Min Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib, went and explained it. All the book is speaking about dhikr, speaking about remembrance of Allah, invocations towards Allah. praying and calling and imploring and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Then Allah makes firm those people who search for قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ. As Imam Sa'di mentions in his tafsir, they search for that. Allah makes these people firm inside this dunya. Makes them firm that they live according to that. That's why those verses inside the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who say, our Lord is Allah, then they remain steadfast upon that. They're steadfast. They're committed to that, to their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ibn Qayyim mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, وَلَوْلَا ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكُنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. Allah is the one that gives steadfastness. Even addressing the Prophet, if we hadn't made you steadfast, you would have inclined to them. You would have inclined towards the Quraysh and to what they're proposing. So we should, that's why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned that one of the most ultimate blessings upon the person is to be steadfast. That's the ultimate blessing, that the person is steadfast. Steadfast inside their salah, in their prayers, in their commitment. That's a sign of a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Inside Surah Hud that we find, we narrate these stories to you. مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. For what purpose? Why does the Quran narrate these stories to even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? To make your heart steadfast. That's why read the Quran. That's why read Surah Hud. This 11th surah is unbelievable. Especially the discussion about Nuh and his son. This great discussion that begins to take place when Nuh is the believer and his son doesn't believe. The impact of that. Imagine that psychologically. Nuh alayhi salam, this great prophet of Allah. Everything is being destroyed. Everything is being wiped out. And he's calling to his son that come join us. Be with us. But his son refuses and says, I'm going to stay here on top of this mountain. It's going to protect me. Nuh said, there's going to be nothing that's going to save you in this day. And even when he's drowned, still Nuh, still he's imploring and asking Allah, because the natural love, the biological love of father towards son. And what does Allah say? إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He's not from your family. He's no longer from your family, because the family of Iman is the family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. His life is an impious life. He's disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lut alayhi salam. His own wife turns away from him. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he followed the view that was his father, Azar, turns away. Used to make tamathil, used to make idols and statues. His father used to make statues. But how did he approach his father? Look at the difference between us and them. He approached his father some 3 or 4 times at Surah Maryam. Ya Abati, oh my beloved, respected father. Why are you doing these things? Why are you worshipping that which can't benefit you in any way? But psychologically, again, the father becomes angry that are you trying to stop us from worshipping our God? God, be away from us. But this is the role that we have to persevere inside our lives. That it's not always going to be that everybody's going to be responsive towards the kalima of La ilaha illallah. Be steadfast. That's what we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep us steadfast. Fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. Inside this world, inside al-akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he gives affirmation or keeps these firm, these individuals inside the dunya, inside al-akhirah. As you mentioned, this affirmation is to give the people the ability to say this qawlu la ilaha illallah. As you find a hadith that you find, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhla al-jannah. Whoever's final words are la ilaha illallah will enter into paradise. So that is one interpretation of this verse in the Quran. And the majority of the ulama go to the view that it's inside the grave. That inside the grave, the person is able to respond accordingly. Some say that it's on the day of judgment. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned that a person needs to be steadfast throughout their life, in the beginning of their life, the end of their life, inside the grave, on the sirat, inside al-akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect them throughout their journey. But a more strong view speaking about inside the grave, that what will happen inside the grave, these 3 questions that we all know, what these questions are, as people going through the exams at the moment and people are rightfully revising and studying that we find, and so many different material and textbooks, whatever they need to study. No one knows what the answers are except for the examiners who wrote the exam paper. But look how simple Islam is. 3 questions. 3 questions, 3 answers. How many of us are going to be able to narrate those answers? How many of us are going to be able to narrate those answers that we become so full of ourselves? That we all know, Man Rabbuka, Rabbi Allah, who is your Lord? My Lord is Allah. Wa ma dinuk, what is your religion? What is your way of life? My life, way of life, Islam. When, who is this messenger? Who is this man that was sent amongst you? We all know that. Is the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know what the answer is. So if we all know the answer, why will people falter? How are people going to falter? Because the narrations that mentions, because it will be said that I lived according to this. I read the Quran and I believed in the Quran. I read the seerah, I read the sunnah, I followed the sunnah inside my life. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give the person the ability to respond, to give this answer rightfully inside the grave. That's why in the Muslim, إِذَا سُئِلَ فِي الْقَبْرِ فَشَهِدَ أَلَّا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When a person is asked inside the grave, and they testify that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet Muhammad is the message of Allah. فَذَلِكَ قَوْلُ تَعَالَى يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. That is the interpretation of this verse. That a person is able to give that answer. And that's why look at certain ahadith that occur, that speak about the hidden world. Read the hadith about Isra wal Mi'raj, the night journey of the Prophet ﷺ, what he saw inside Akhirah of Jahannam and the blessings inside paradise. And likewise, read this long hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, the journey of the soul. Maybe a slight correction there, not the journey of the soul, the journey of my soul and the journey of your soul. What's that journey going to be? You find, إِذَا مُؤْمِنْ إِذَا مَاتَ. When a believer dies, you find angels, they descend from the heavens, carrying a shroud, a white shroud, with fragrance. And they sit there, waiting for this individual. That's why even before this hadith, it mentioned the Prophet, he saw a burial going past. That's why various narrations, we're going to try to cluster them together. That he saw a person from Ansar who passed away. And he got up and he raised it to go and join them. When they got to the graveside, the grave hadn't been dug yet. It hadn't been dug. So he sat there and everyone became silent. Everybody became silent and no one moved and no one spoke. And the Prophet had a stick inside his hand. He began to draw on the sand or on the ground. Then he lifted his head. Ista'idhu billahi min adhab al-qabr. Qalu marratain aw thalatha marrat. Then he said to his companions that seek refuge from the punishment of the grave twice or three times. Then he narrates that this was going to take place of a believing individual. That when a believer, when it dies, and the angels are standing there, and the believer is told to sit up inside its grave. He's told to sit up and then ask these questions. And when a person answers in the affirmative, is then shown this individual, this would have been your place inside the hellfire if you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is your place that's going to be. So when the angels, they take this body, they take it, they shroud it, and they begin to raise up this individual. And it comes out like a soft, just like you squeeze a juice or a bottle and the juice water just bursts out. That's a good soul, good smell, good fragrance. Angels wrap it up and they begin to ascend. And people begin to ask, who is this good soul? They say, this is the soul of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Carries on ascending, 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 until comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Comes to Al-Illiyun, the highest record. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, return it back to this world. Because I created you from the earth, I placed you upon the earth, and I'll resurrect you from the earth. So the believer comes back down into this dunya. And he's told to sleep and rest, just like a newly wedded individual. A newly wedded bride has no worries. Sleep, and no one will disturb you. We'll remain there until the day of judgment. What will happen to this soul who disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who carried out the wrong actions inside their life? You find angels who come with a foul cloth, with a foul smell and a stench. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah narrates it, it's such a foul smell, the Prophet, he gives this visualization, he took the shawl he had and he placed it upon his mouth and he said, it has a foul smell, this soul. It has a bad smell. And I'll mention it as a form of experience. There's been times that we've washed bodies. Obviously, no one knows who these people are in the times that we wash people's bodies inside our lives. But there's been moments whereby there's been such a foul smell coming from this dead corpse. Such a foul smell that no one else can't smell it except for one or two other people inside the room and they have to leave. No one knows. You don't know who these people are. I mean, I'm not going to narrate who these people are. That's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the way that you find that the body is exposed to torture, even the ibrah, just to see washing a dead body is enough. Kafa bil mawti maw'idha. As Umar used to say, enough is to see a dead person, to reprimand the person, admonition of the people, just to see a dead person lying there. It should just make you think about what's going to happen. Likewise, even the grave, just travel inside the grave. Go and sit inside the grave, see that, visualize that. This is going to be the end of everything. The end of everything upon this earth that I've been striving to do inside my life. There's 6 foot under, it closes. Shuts within you, and then the angels will come, Munkar and Nakir. Tell this person to sit up and ask this person, Man Rabbuka? Qala, la adri, la adri. I don't know, I don't know. I used to hear the people saying something, but I never used to do that inside my life. Who's this messenger sent to you? I don't know. What is your way of life? I don't know. Then an angel will smite this person with an iron rod inside their head, on the top of their head. And if every living thing was to hear the pain, the anguish, the scream of that individual, they would drop down dead. That's inside the qabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the punishment of Adhab al-Qabr. That's why the Prophet said every single salah, that's why some fuqa go to the view, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. They go to the view, it's obligatory, some of them. Because the Prophet said never ever gave it up in his life to seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. That's the beginning of all of us. That inside the grave, those questions are going to be asked. And that's this individual will be thrown down from the heavens, won't be lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And eventually by every single wicked name they were known by in this dunya. Every foul name. And then opposite, they'll be shown. If you had believed, this would have been your place inside paradise. But this is sealed. Rather, this is your place inside Jahannam. And this person will say, oh Allah, don't establish the hour. Don't let it come by. What type of individual do we want to be? That's why this world is what tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha bayna nas. It's a few days. They can torture and punish the people of Philistine. They've been doing it for 75 years. But you know, the akhirah is for eternity. It's for eternity. That's why for us, it looks brutal, it looks hard that when we see people suffering and the hardships. But for some of them, it might be just a slight pinch. For some of them, it might be a slight pinch for them and they're returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these innocent children that we find. Because obviously as human beings, we're not used to visualizing these things. But there should be something inside us to think that, you know, inshallah, these are people of paradise living on this earth to show us, to strengthen our iman. Because Allah shows that on this dunya. He doesn't leave us in absentee that he doesn't show us who people of paradise are. He shows it at times in this dunya. These are people who are persevering. These are people committed. These are people calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why look at their chance. Look at their chance when calamity comes upon them. Look at what they're saying. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. He's a great protector. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong. To Allah we return. This belongs to Him. What do you find these people saying? They're saying that clearly if you take every... We're not going to move an inch from our land. You know, many of us, we'd probably crumble. Our iman would crumble. Our life would crumble. Everything would crumble around us. Because we'd be saying, why us? Why am I suffering for? What did I do wrong in my life, Ya Allah? Why am I going through this hardship? Why am I going through this difficulty? That's why you find the opposite. They're the opposite. They're saying, Ya Allah, if you bring it even more, we're going to remain more persevere inside our life, more committed inside our life. Waspiru, sabiru, warabitu, more committed. Because they've got a greater vision. And they're showing us that vision. That as we enjoy this world, we live this world, we're beginning to forget what the greater goal and the greater aspiration is. Is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all a good ending. A good ending of saying la ilaha illallah, living la ilaha illallah inside our lives. That's why to read through the Quran is nothing but la ilaha illallah. And as we find inside la ilaha illallah, we find a fa'alam anna la ilaha illallah, wastaghfir li dhanbik. Have knowledge, understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and seek forgiveness for your sins. And that's what will help us throughout this dunya, likewise reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.